Welcome to the Club 937 podcast. I'm Jay, the producer, and this week we're sitting down with the East River Band to talk about the Gettysburg music scene, Andre 3000, and how to find common ground amongst a sea of varied influences. But before we get into all that, we just wanted to let you know that our friends in Hannibal are throwing a record release party on January 27th at the Polish Club in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, with special guests 22, Tree Knock, and Dan and Tez's band, The Ten Roars. Can't make it to that show? That's okay, because both Hannibal and The Ten Roars will be playing at the Crooked Crab in Odenton, Maryland on February 3rd. Info for both those shows will be linked in the show notes, but for now, let's jump into our conversation with the East River Band. I guess I gotta play the song, right?
Heck yeah, you gotta play the song, dude.
You.
Actually, I like the new song, so we'll play the new song.
This is just to get the appetite. This is just for appetite. Yeah.
Here we go.
That's a
dope intro. That was awesome. I know, it's not even us. Now we gotta steal it and we gotta take it up one.
Is that like who wrote that? Is that like just something that
me
that
man, I wrote that, it. That me. Yeah, it was me. It was
nah, that's from Artlist. It's where I get all the music and sound effects that I use in my videos. So I downloaded the track, cut it up so it was only like 15 seconds long. And That's a
rad little breakdown. What's going on, Club 937? What's going on, guys?
What's up, bro? The one you hear on the actual show, though, will be up.
Yeah, we actually, one of our first shows was at a place called Club 611, right? Like, there's a connection.
Cafe 611.
In
Frederick. Yeah.
That was probably like the first of our two shows was played there, and the other was in Gettysburg.
The old back to back.
Yeah, man.
At a battleground.
Yeah, that's where I'm living. That's where I live.
I was going to say there's going to be some thing at some point that some joke made about Gettysburg and the fact that Gettysburg is like our go-to town for playing shows, and there's going to be some type of like battlefield or strange like humor made about that.
Do you call yourselves a Gettysburg band?
I don't know. I mean, the band really like did actually form in Gettysburg. That's where it was born. I mean, to this day, I'd say like probably a good third of like any of our shows that we play in the summer or the fall are in Gettysburg, specifically at the Gettysburger.
yeah, we kind of have like, you know, just stable places that, you know, are just great for us that we've gotten really close to just the people and the, you know, the people that work there. And like the Gettysburger, we also play on the square. So like Gettysburg, there's downtown Lincoln Square. It's like a really neat venue called like Arts Oasis. And
it's like open air stage.
Yeah. Cars are going behind you. Trucks, motorcycles, the works. But
what? So wait. Is the Gettysburger good?
Yeah, the food's fire.
I'm a
foodie person. I'm very picky. Like, you know, it's not just bar food. Like, it's a fully stocked menu.
Tez, I'm kind of feeling a Gettysburger in my future. I don't know, dude, if you're feeling the same, Tez, but
bar's fully stocked. Drinks are reasonably priced. It's a good spot.
Have you guys ever been to Gettysburg?
Yeah, on a
field trip or something.
I saw that episode of The Office where they went to Gettysburg.
I mean, I drive through it a lot, like it's on my way up. Like,
Gettysburg does have this like weird place in pop culture. There's what was that movie that was filmed there, Joel?
Well, I mean, it wasn't like filmed, but like Remember the Titans was like connection.
Yeah, I was gonna say like Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, that's Punxsutawney.
Oh yeah.
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 Nah, it's That's cool. And we also have like an acoustic set too, so it kind of lends itself well to just to different establishments.
There's
like a place in Arlington called like William Jeffries Tavern that we like to play as well. And we do a lot of different shows, and we try to stay in like that DMV area the best we can. But Gettysburg is definitely a foothold.
Is there a decent scene in Gettysburg?
There's some, I would say there's some pretty hip, like, original acts that, like, play there regularly. Like, people who, do, like, obviously covers, too, but, like, have some, like, really dope original music. Joel actually plays in another band as well that's called Brother Crow. It's a blues outfit.
It's actually Brother Crow and the Murder.
Brother Crow and
Murder
the Murder
of Crows. I got you.
Yeah, we played actually back to back shows at the Gettysburg Christmas Festival, so we had to kind of tame our name back to just Brother Crow. But it's fun. we actually cover like
Family friendly.
Yeah, it's actually fun. Like learning Christmas songs, honestly. But that's a side note, but. Love playing drums, you know, that's just my thing. So whenever I can keep my chops up and play in just different, you know, genres and just with different people, you know, it's all great. It's all just progressing, trying to get better.
Cool. Sure. Jay, sure. You're good luck editing this shit, man. But before we even get started, who are our guests tonight? Did. Jay and Tez. No, we actually didn't. We just jumped right into the Gettysburg scene.
That's what I'm saying.
We do owe these guys a proper introduction.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So anywho, I put the word out on the Facebook music group. Blake actually hit me back, threw some music our way, and definitely was down to do the show. So, let's give them, tell everybody who y'all are, the name of the band, and where y'all come from.
So this is Blake and Joel. We're from the East River Band, is the name of the act. And, yeah, man, we're super psyched to be with you guys.
Jay, give him some applause, man. There you go.
Working on it, man.
There you go, dude.
You had to find it. This is still new. This is a new board for Jay.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome, Blake and Joel.
Cool, man.
Yeah, thanks again for having us.
Yeah. Good to be here, guys.
We dove right into the Gettysburg scene.
Yeah, man.
So as we backtrack, is that where y'all from?
That's where the band formed, and that's where both of us went to school together. We both went to the college that's there, and that's the first place that Joel and I really like jammed together. That's where Joel's based currently.
I
always have to, you know, represent. I was born in Buffalo, so definitely diehard Buffalonian, but. Went to Gettysburg College just because I've always loved history. Just something about this place, especially, always kind of, you know, just felt different to me. And was like, oh, there's a college here, so it just kind of made sense. And the weather is definitely milder here, which is definitely a plus. And it just at college, just one day, we were both in marching band. I was in drumline. It was so fun. Blake was a trombone player.
Good times.
Yeah, and like
I'm no longer a trombone player. I cannot sit here and say I'm a trombone player. I have not touched my trombone since 2018.
Yeah, well, it's could work towards it. No.
Dude, once a trombone player, always a trombone player.
Always.
Well, yeah. It's my choir teacher used to say that like brass players always make really good singers. Because like the breathing is like very similar.
The technique, you know?
Sometimes
how things are just fortuitous. Like Blake had, but I was in a fraternity. We were both in a fraternity, Sigma Nu. And I was already a brother, but Blake had gone there a few times. He's like a year younger than me. So he had gone over there, but just never crossed paths. But then I was like driving back to get lunch after like some marching band thing and saw Blake on the side of the road walking. And Steve was like, oh, let's go pick him up. And I didn't know him at the time. And but just trusted Steve, whatever, and just pulled over and opened the window. And I was like, get in the car. And just Blake was like, okay. And he just put his trombone in the back seat. And yeah, that kind of starts.
This is New York, Buffalo, like fucking.
It's
get in the fucking car.
Get in the car. It's like. I don't know.
I had lived in like fucking like sleepy South Virginia where everyone's like, excuse me. Like, I wasn't ready.
That's quite the pickup.
Quite literally, it was a pickup.
Well, so what brought on the band? Like, explain your sound, your scene, your like, what brought it on, man? It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, it just
COVID for real.
Yeah, I mean,
another COVID band.
Another COVID band, bro.
But here's the thing. Really post COVID, though.
Well, I mean, it was because we all got it, was like, because we were together before it, but it was.
Yeah, we were jamming.
Yeah, like we were together before, but then we all got sick. And then I changed jobs and it freed up my weekends and it just like allowed us to really like take off and just be available more. So it just like, yeah, it definitely opened up opportunities, I think, for us individually.
All right. So we've interviewed quite a few COVID bands and we may or may not be in one ourselves. Right. So like, was it like the escape thing? Like you guys were looking for some kind of creative outlet and this is what happened? Or was it like a mission? Like we want to be,
great questions. I think because it all kind of started, I think Blake can kind of attest to his previous, like I was in, you know, bands and, you know, middle school, high school, stuff like that. Like just always been drumming my entire life. It's just since I was like 2 years old, like playing on my dad's kit.
Joel and I ripped in different outfits in college. Like, you know, friend bands like on the porch, like once or twice, like,
we jammed together with that Stephen Lynn that we were talking about earlier. And this guy named Jack and this guy named Warren, who has a SoundCloud as well.
We'll plug Warren more fully later on.
Yeah, but definitely it's always just like been in, you know, we've always just been doing it. But the first time ever, I was just like hanging out with some friends and Blake just came over and I don't know, like I had my drums there because I was just living there over the summer and I just had my drum set in the basement of the fraternity. It was absolutely amazing. And Blake just, I don't know, I didn't know he played guitar. That's a thing. Like when the first time you put trombone in the car, I never knew you really play guitar. And then we play guitar the one time in the basement of Sigma Nu. That was like the first time we actually jammed together. And it was just like very, you know, I was still like, I'm very influenced by like Travis Barker, like fast paced, like punk kind of, but also Neil Peart as well. But so like, you know, I never really was like big into, like, I didn't really listen to Grateful Dead as much and more of like a slower pace, just jam, like just feel the beat, just jam. And I think like that's where like Blake was I don't want to speak for him, but I don't think he was like as in to like that kind of pop punk kind of vibe as much as I was. And he was, and he was huge into the Grateful Dead and like, you know, the
Allman Brothers,
Young and Allman Brothers, which I still kind of like to follow, but that was what his thing was. So I think like those influences all just kind of came together. And it's just created a pretty interesting sound because we just try to push ourselves to just we jam a lot, you know, it's a lot of like just kind of jamming. But we played so many shows that like we have to, you know, learn some covers. And so that's also helped us, but,
The band really like what came together. Yeah, like Joel said, after like he got a new job, got some free time, and by like the end, like the mid like 2021, we had also linked up with another friend of ours from college, this guy David Pataki, who was a bass player. We rocked as a trio for a little while, just doing like scant gigs in Frederick. Cafe 611 was one of the first venues that we played. They do like kind of like local band showcases every now and again. It's a pretty hip place. Some like very like underrated shows happened there, definitely. And then like I would say I don't remember really Joel
Gettysburg was like, rocks too, like the shirt that Mike is wearing, like
year was that we really got a full schedule of shows going, you know?
I definitely want to shout out, like, his name's Rob Simon, and he started this thing called Gettysburg Rocks, and it's like this music festival in Gettysburg twice a year for like a weekend in August and a weekend in February, and all these local restaurants and just like all these awesome places like host live music, and a lot of like places host live music as well. But Gettysburg Rocks is a more dedicated thing where all the money goes towards Fort Diamonds, which is, you know, cancer research for like children who are battling cancer. Stuff okay. like that. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's like this incredible cause, and you know, you just feel great just to participate and just, you know, be part
and
of it.
And they also showcase a lot of super dope local bands.
Like all of like the local who's who definitely gets a spot at a location. There's this place called Battlefield Brewworks where I played with a different group, and that's like it's like inside a Civil War barn, like a field hospital. Like that place was like literally like a field hospital, and like that's what you kind of get with Gettysburg, I guess. But
yeah, some cool venues, man.
Well, so your name, so this East River Band, like where did that come from? The name.
Yeah, so the name, like really, the name just kind of came together, like out of partially just because we would hang out in this river that was behind the condo that I was living in Frederick at the time with my buddy. We would just take the dog and like some of our friends and go chill by the river. And we were like, oh, like, you know, we're just a bunch of friends who live on the East Coast. And it was kind of like cool to us at the time, because I had been living in other places, and Dave had been living in other places, and like all like of a sudden we kind of ended up on the East Coast together in the DMV area, and started chilling and jamming. So we were like, all right, whatever, East River Band. But then one time we actually decided to look at a map, like after we picked the name, because it's like after like a year of playing together, and we actually noticed that like there's the legitimately like the, I think like going mostly through the Potomac River, but like the Potomac connecting to a couple other creeks, there's like actually a physical body of water that goes through all the places that we live, like Gettysburg, like Northern Virginia, and like there actually is like a East River that connects where all the members live, which was like the weirdest fucking thing ever.
Yeah, dude, that was like really crazy.
That's great, like,
I would sound more legit if I could remember all the names of the little creeks that like actually connect together. But like,
nah, man, look, the basic idea I get is you use the body of water that connects how your band got together. And that's a really it's a great name, man. It's a great name. And it's classic, very classic name.
There are other directional river bands out there. I think there is a South River Band or something like that. They're like, it's kind of funny. So I do believe we are the only East River Band
that I know of.
Googling.
I mean, I got that domain. I got that website on lock. No.
So your sound though, like there's the name. Like this starts to get into who your influences are and your Mount Rushmore and stuff, which is like really the point of all this. But where did you find your sound, you know?
Oh man. I definitely feel like that we always are going back to like that sort of like basement garage rock, like jam session feel, but like also with like I feel like a more we do try to like, you know, our improv, I think we are trying to start to make it more like structured and like more you know, like built around like certain like key changes and modes, but really like it is, I think it is all about that. Like I think at the core of our music, and it is about the live shows and like the collective improv and the jamming. And like we're influenced by like, you know, any act or any kind of like, you know, sound that like encourages that, you know, basically like free improvising and like, you know, a jam band kind of vibe.
Yeah. And like that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like when we first started like playing like Gettysburg Rocks, it was like a 45 minute gig kind of thing. Okay. We got to learn like five or six songs. And that was like, I think one of the hardest parts. I think that was the hardest thing as we first started as a band, was having to like learn these songs. Like, yeah, we all wanted to just have like five banging originals, but like, you know, it just obviously takes some time for that. And we just wanted to make sure we had some, you know, some covers to lay down and just help us get better too, and fine tune our skills by learning what other musicians have done and created, and help it guide us, inspire us as well.
Oh, we're all heavy classic rock listeners, obviously.
Yeah, like Eagles, Tom Petty, and
all right. Wait. This is the perfect time then for the Mount Rushmore, right?
So, wait, before you get into Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
Oh God, I wasn't prepared for this.
What you got, Jay? Where are we at?
We have a verdict on whether or not you are the only East River band.
Ah, yeah?
Yes.
Cool. What do we have from The Office? What do we get?
The closest that we get is there are two other bands that aren't called the East River band. There is the East River Blues Band. Mm. And there is Eden and John's East River String Band, but there is no other East River band.
Latter. I have heard of the latter. The string band one I'd heard of before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So you guys are the legit East River band, man.
So this is also a good segue into our nickname, which is Herb. Herb.
The ERB
though, okay. ERB.
Jesus, you guys.
So Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, Mount Rushmore. So basically, you get to build your Mount Rushmore for your musical tastes, yeah.
Oh shit. Dude.
So you have four faces. What four faces do you put on your mountain?
Oh my God!
Is it just one mountain for like our collective?
No. You each get one.
Yeah, you're each here. Yeah, you each pick a mountain. You each get a mountain. Sure. Yeah.
And I think that does explain so much also about our band sound. Like you'll definitely, you know.
Well, drop them.
Okay.
I think Joel's
ready. Joel's definitely.
I don't know. I mean, I know like my big one is definitely like Blink-182 / like Angels and Airwaves, I guess / Boxcar Racer. just because Tom DeLonge and Travis Barker and Mark Hoppus are definitely, I mean, I would argue like those, that is my Mount Rushmore, like almost. I mean, that's, I mean, I know it's like a little too much.
Whoa. But there's four faces. You got three. You could use three, man. You can do it. It's fine.
Yeah. It won't be Matt Skiba. Okay. Okay. So I guess just that collective. So I guess Tom DeLonge, actually, even though he's a guitarist and I'm a drummer.
Okay.
So Tom DeLonge for sure. I'll go Neil Peart. And I mean, I have to say Travis Barker as well. And then if I had to go another one just off like the cuff, wow, that's really hard. I have no idea.
Put Mark Hoppus on it, man. Just put Mark Hoppus on it. He's the only one that's missing.
Yeah. Actually, he deserves it the most. Thank you, Dan, for just like helping me. And you know, like, I was really stuck there. Just Mark Hoppus, because he's battled. You know?
So Blink-182 plus Neil Peart.
Totally. Yeah. Totally, man.
Like that's on brand.
Man.
I buy it.
All right, Blake, what you got, man? Who's your four?
Oh snap. Okay. Well, I gotta put Neil Young up there.
Okay.
I gotta put Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead. I gotta put John Mayer. I gotta put probably like Roger Waters, Pink Floyd,
cool.
Yeah. That's what I'm going with for now. Like if you talk to me in two days, I'll probably be like, debating like a couple of them, but I feel pretty solid about those first three, honestly.
So then, okay. That is a very, varied group of influences,
and I think that explains like kind of the vibe that we bring it with a lot of our shows and you know our own music as well. I don't think any two of our songs really have the same vibe, and like so much so that like if someone's like, "What genre is it?" Like it's like I don't really know. Like I really don't.
Yeah, well, like
I'm not gonna tell you we only play one genre.
So if you had to do a show with who would you just to compare your sound, who would you do a show with?
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. Joel?
Well, I mean, you know, I definitely want to be, you know, our own kind of sound in a way, but I do think sometimes we kind of have like that just because we play, we, you know, not to say we're a cover band, obviously, but, you know, we do have like that kind of Tom Petty, like Chili Pepper kind of just like rock kind of sound.
Yeah, I would almost say like a band we really like is Dispatch. We really like Dispatch. Like we are really into them. And even though we only cover like one or two of their songs, like that, I really feel like that would mesh well with our sound, almost like a like Sublime,
like not as necessarily, but like, I mean, because it's interesting because, like, again, like my influences of just being kind of a fast paced, you know, whatever. Like, I've never really been a loud drummer necessarily, I've always just kind of struggled with just kind of again, like just being chill. And so,
but he's gotten way chiller as time has gone by, actually.
I think, yeah, like playing in this condo. Which is where like we started playing, like we had to be so quiet, and I bought these brushes and it just changed everything for me too. And I play a little bit. I'm very, you know, very tactful. I feel like with my kit too, I'm just
like all of a sudden we had dynamics, you know, and I think that's another thing that I think we do that not every single
bar band
like that you go to see in Gettysburg or Frederick or fucking
the coolest place, and it's like it's closed right now, but it's called the Core Theater, and it's definitely one of the coolest venues if they can, you know, if it can just happen. But it's like an old movie theater, and it's like a huge stage with like, you know, it looks like a movie theater essentially, and like state-of-the-art sound. But so we can do something like that, but at the same time be like more like that, like a coffee house. But
sure, yeah, we're big into the acoustic stuff too. Sure,
that is a very long description of your sound, man.
Yeah, our passion about it. Like,
that is a very long description.
I could just go on and on. Honestly, like, you know.
I listened to your stuff earlier this eve, which I know we're gonna listen to it tonight. But I only found one song on Apple Music. Yeah, but I was trying to place you guys with somebody, and I kind of couldn't either. I heard like a little bit of REM, and I heard a little bit of Morrissey. I started to get into like kind of that vibe with it, you know.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
But
I've always loved Shiny Happy
People. I am a big fan of both of those bands.
Yeah. Like it's kind of like college rock, right? It's like where jam bands meet punk bands kind of thing. You know, like it's like the two scenes of a college would be your like counterculture scene versus your like, kind of Shiny Happy People scene. Yeah.
Or just like super jam band and just only playing like Grateful Dead, you know, kind of vibe, like that just very specific sound.
Yeah. Like Blake has a really trippy Mount Rushmore. Like there's a lot of LSD. Mount Rushmore.
I can't believe I didn't even say the Beatles. Like I should just turn in my music card. Like, yeah. I mean, I have Beatles rock band that I've been playing recently too. Again, like huge fan of Ringo and in the gang. I saw Paul McCartney live, and he was getting out of like his it was crazy. That was, this guy was standing there looking across like where like the sea of, you know, the store, the containers were where like all the people go. Like dressing rooms and stuff, and everyone was at their seats, and he's like, "Oh, just stay here." And then Paul McCartney and his band just comes out, and I'm like, "Hey, Paulie!" And like he actually looks up and like gives us a wave, and then I'm not even kidding, he proceeds to drive the limousine golf cart to then the stage area. And I know it sounds made up, but then I go to my seat, and then he, you know, then he starts playing. But that was a great show.
You had a moment with Paul McCartney.
It was definitely a moment that I will cherish forever. And
the Beatles, yeah,
sure,
yeah.
Sure.
I mean, he was there. Sir, I mean, it was Paul. Him.
That's a really cool story.
It was like him. It was just this guy who was from like he was like a West Virginia dude that just loved that. He I don't know, it's like alma mater or something. But
and Joel, didn't some guy say to you like moments before, he was like, I have it on good, like,
yeah, word that like
he's like, gonna be, he's gonna be coming yeah, through here in a little bit. And you were like, yeah, what the fuck ever, dude, right?
I gave it a chance because I was like, what, you know,
yeah,
what,
well, you stuck around, you stuck your fuck around.
But yeah, it's all fun. I mean, I just love jamming and I love just playing drums, and hopefully that just kind of shows as well.
Cool.
Just having fun.
It's been an interesting time for the band. We have had a couple personnel like shuffles, and you know, it's been a friend band. It's always been just like our the buddies that, like, you know, we went to school with who are in this area, and we you know, recently started trying to like bring other guys into the fold to kind of, you know, add stuff, or now we got a new bass player, this guy Grayson Pinney, who's he previously played with this band called the Chicken Boys, which is like, they were actually in like the Austin area at the time. He's like a pretty recent arrival to this area, Grayson. But yeah, check that band out, the Chicken Boys. And he's our new bass player. But we're really looking forward to like ripping some shows in 2023 and trying to make, you know, like each show kind of like a little experience, you know.
2024, by the way, but
2024.
And we also thought he was right.
He didn't want to go on to the next, to the 24. He wanted to do 23
actually,
all over again.
I actually don't think we have any more 2023.
So the thing is also in my other outfit called Brother Crow, the Murderer, as we mentioned earlier, we have a friend named Corwin Lieber, who was also part of our friends from college and stuff like that, and he's still in the area, and so he plays saxophone and he's really good, and he's in this blues band with me, and we finally were like, yeah, you know, I think it's really good sound that we're trying to go for right now too, and so right now we're just kind of rocking with the four of us, and but just always
bass,
open
music, bass, sax, guitar, and drum.
Yeah, but like, you know, just always like looking for whatever to just have fun, you know, and have a good time.
Yeah. So,
wait,
so
did you say sax?
Saxophone, bro.
Sax.
Saxophone.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, okay. Man. Yeah.
Sax.
We have
the real have rock and roll instrument. Saxophone.
Yeah, I think we have like one or two.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Damn.
I mean, you heard the beef between Andre 3000 and Kenny G, man. It's all over. It's crazy right now.
I like that album. I like the new Andre 3000 album.
I do too, man. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, when I'm in an elevator, man, it's perfect to listen to, man. You know,
it's good grocery store music. Like when you don't want to listen to what's going on in the grocery store, you got your headphones in. Like it's good music to like focus on other shit too.
Yeah,
man.
I was like, looking at for driving. I was enjoying driving with it,
dude. But Tez, I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. Like, if you invite someone over to your place and you're like, "Hey, check out the new Andre album," and you put it on, it's like 2 minutes in, you're just like, it's this awkward silence, and you just like, you know, you just like have to turn it off and put on like something else, anything else, you know, like
it becomes a very questionable situation.
Otis Redding, yeah, you know, doesn't matter, dude.
Anything
like,
that's
not an album you listen to with the homies.
It's an internal kind of thing, and I love Andre for dropping No Bars on his fateful comeback. Like, I think that's the coolest thing ever. As an old punk guy, like I think that's about as punk as you can get. Is dropping a fluke record, like 20 years to your follow up or whatever, like sheesh. But yeah, I could have used some bars.
We all knew he was an artist.
He's
always been an artist, you know.
Yeah. He told us that he was not going to put any bars on this record,
dude. Andre 3000 could rap about breakfast, and it would be stone fire, dude. Like he's got that kind of swag. Like that dude can rhyme about anything and make it amazing.
Like he already like proved himself in that, and he doesn't want to, like, you know,
he's phenomenal as a rapper. And to be honest with you, I think this record, that album, only musicians can really understand what he did with that album. And I'm talking about like true musicians, like that can understand like the love for one instrument or just,
I do feel like he was telling stories, man. He was really telling some stories with his instrument and through his solos and flute.
Yeah, he played the shit out of that flute.
Oh my god, dude! Yeah, he definitely said some stuff. He said some stuff for sure.
Dude, it's cool because
he said,
I completely agree with Dan. I completely agree with Dan in that it is like a song by song type record. I'm not gonna sit here and say I listened to the whole thing start to finish and was like enthralled. Like, I listened to it song by song and then two more songs and then two more songs, because you're right, it's not the kind of music you're gonna sit and listen and just like groove to look for like hours on end. I completely agree with Dan in that aspect, but I do dig it, I played it
twice back to back, and it was only because I was at a job and I just had my headphones on, and you know, I played it the first time and I was like, man, let me give this another listen all the way through. I had the time, gave it another listen all the way through. And then, so what happened was, on the second time, it automatically connected to an Andre 3000 channel. So it after that, it only played songs that he featured on.
Sure.
To come off of that album and then go into...
Like the international bars, players,
the bars that are getting ready to be dropped on you. You mean?
I love that song,
It was a crazy combination, man. But it just speaks to the skill level that this dude has as a musician,
talent,
and
man, yeah.
Yes, man. Even as an actor, yo, he's a phenomenal actor,
dude. Whatever, man. My two cents is I can I can listen to the whole flute record and really appreciate the craft he came from and all that, and like, you know, whatever, like I can appreciate him for who he is, you know, he's one of my favorites. But then I can put on like any Kendrick Lamar record and go through an entire story and experience and go through like all this anger and all this grief and all this whatever and all this, like I can have this whole like experience. And that's Kendrick Lamar. Andre 3000 has like that capability. He could do a romance record. He could do a violent record. He could do anything he wanted to do.
Romeo and Juliet. Yeah.
So, man, like, yeah, you can play the flute, but you could also drop it on me, Andre. Like, you totally could. You know, I know he can. So,
but in case he said out of his own mouth, the man said that, you know, he felt that he didn't want to give us anything that was inauthentic, and he didn't feel that he really didn't feel like he had anything to rap about. Like, he didn't told us everything.
Yeah. I mean, look, coming from the artist side, I don't want to do it just because everybody wants me to do it. I got to do it because I want to do it, you know, like.
Yeah,
I feel that. I do feel that from the artist side,
and that's what it had become. That everybody wanted another Outkast album so bad that he would have only been doing it for the sake of the fans and not really for the feel of the art,
right?
And we would have, who knows what we would have got? It'd probably be the same kind of.
And the whole time, has he just been chilling like off Outkast royalties and features? Is that how has made his?
He's got a little bit into fashion. Yes. I think he's got fashion going on. Like he's got a little bit of everything.
He went overseas and was playing flute overseas, but he still gets. I mean, he did the movie with Tyrese, Mark Wahlberg.
Four brothers.
Yes.
That's a great movie.
Come on, like three times on a Saturday.
And that's like what, early 2000s?
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
he's like low key in that.
Yeah,
he gets mad money from that movie because it's on VH1 plays the shit out of that movie. That and 8 Mile.
that's a rapper retirement right there.
Right. Every Saturday, especially on Saturday morning, Mom, spaghetti. Oh, I'm forgetting.
God. Oh, God. Oh, God, man. You only get one shot. One up.
B-Rabbit.
Yeah. All right. Fuck all them, Jay. Get us back on track. Put us back on East River Band. We should listen to their music and
what's
stuff.
What's going on, Jay?
What's up, Jay?
I don't even know anymore.
Poke the bear.
Are we there yet? I feel like we just got involved in the conversation.
Tez,
we just
Jay's.
We just forked off of the conversation for like 20 minutes talking about Andre 3000.
Dude, I just love talking about music. I just need more homies to talk about music with instead of is what's going on.
It is true.
As soon as I get around people who like to talk about records and music and shit like that, like it's over.
Well, I did have a question that will get us back on topic.
Shoot, brother.
So going back to the Mount Rushmore, that is just such a weird mix of influences. Like, how did you guys reach a common ground? Like, how did that end up happening?
Yeah, well, I think like I don't know. I just, again, like, I feel like just the kind of music, like just what Blake was doing. Like, I'm always trying to play drums, and you know, so it's not that like, oh, because Blake, you know, Blake's playing drum or guitar, I'm gonna play drums. But like at the same time, like my friend as well. But like I looked at to myself, like I'm going to try to get better and just try to slow myself down here and just try to be just jam with him and just kind of see what can happen. Cause it's college. So you're just kind of in this area here where like, you know, it's like I don't know. It's crazy. You know, you can do anything really.
Yeah. And I mean, likewise, like, you know, I was like learning more like power chord stuff. Cause Joel's like, you know, we're learning.
Yeah. Different. More like melodic.
Yeah, like, I mean, so we've learned a couple of Blink 182 songs and we started ripping, Sweet Jane, by Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground does their version too. We were really big into that song, and yeah, we just like, you know, over time when we started writing our own stuff, I think we like, you know, really did start to, you know, find that common ground.
Like also like 2000s alternative, like Incubus, like we play Drive a lot, you know, like that's a classic.
Finding stuff like with our covers that kind of like occupies that middle ground was cool. Like that specifically that, like, you know, we used to play When I Come Around by Green Day. That was like a song where like I kind of like for the first time was like, all right, I gotta like really like dial in a nice like dry like distortion, you know, like, because you know that's something also that like has been cool about the band is like you know, our the guy used to play bass with us, Dave, he taught me a lot about like pedals and gear and shit like that, and that's kind of helped also with me like, you know, trying different styles that are outside my like kind of a you know very clean guitar sort of sounds.
Yeah, and I think another thing too is like the way that I was playing drums, I just don't think it was sustainable for like a long-term like evolution. Like I would rather, you know, I would rather learn how to be progressive and incorporate like a little bit more complex structures and like be able to just go through different jamming progressions, but at the same time still be able to rattle off an easy, you know, or you know, more, not easy, but you know, just a little bit more simpler as well. So I think that's just kind of another thing too, to kind of just meld our like different influences and stuff.
You hear that, Tez? Yeah, cool. You hear that, Tez? He's talking about getting brushes and hitting the drums less hard than we have been for like the past, I don't know, like 25 years or something like that. However, we're playing together. You're not seeing it coming.
When we're doing this at 56, it's still going to be beat the shit out of
you. All right. You want to stay hard, bro. We stay hard. I was just putting it out there.
So when y'all covering Incubus and Blink, is there saxophone?
We haven't gotten that. So here's the crazy thing is we have only done maybe one or two shows with Corwin, Joel. How many has it been, bro?
Yeah, I mean, definitely like two. We did like an acoustic and
added him as saxophone.
Yeah, you know, and like whether it's like every song, like in every set list, you know, could be different. But, you know, I think like really our main goal right now, like, is definitely just get some more songs recorded and just kind of start just, you know, and continue to craft our own sound. And we have a lineup of shows we have coming up. So we'll have to just kind of see how those all go. But
you need to do When I Come Around again and have him do the guitar solo with the saxophone.
Totally.
Oh, absolutely, that's a good idea, Jay. It's done, it's happening. I was just ripping on that song actually, which is so funny, but now that Jay said that, I'm like, nope, okay, actually, I
yeah, dude,
that's gonna take that song to a whole new level.
No time, right? no time to search the world around.
I hear it.
I hear it. Also, if you guys want to cover,
this is why I'm a producer.
Well, and the thing I was thinking was that if you guys want to pick some covers for filler with a saxophone player, just judging by what I've heard of you guys, you should absolutely maybe look into Dave Matthews Band, because between the drums and the sax, that's like kind
we
of
did, we did no we go. Did stay we did yeah, the song we were, stay a couple times it, mm-hmm. that's it's hard dude it's hard dude. Yeah. I mean, he,
different level
interesting
sure,
guitar parts to play and sing at the same time.
Yeah, dude, it's not easy, man, but if you can do it, then
we're doing it, man. We're doing it. We're trying to get, you know, we really want to, like, you know, take that progressive influence.
I think that's why the cover's up a little bit.
That's where we find our common ground, for real. Like, mm-hmm. that's where me and Joel's music taste really intersects, and like an area where I think we're going with our original composing, and where we've really taken our influences and kind of melded them is, like, you know, Genesis, Rush. Joel and I are both like deeply in love with those two bands, and kind of like those, that very progressive songwriting, you know, with
Humphreys
like
cool, McGee. It's kind of,
we're both very into Humphreys McGee.
I love Humphreys, man. I love Humphreys McGee.
Cool. Yeah, I've seen some of the Humphreys shows.
So fun.
Yeah, we used to be straight fans.
I've seen a good Humphreys show.
Oh yeah. That was our warm up music.
Phil forever, man.
Yeah, Joel and I actually went and saw it. We saw him, bro.
We saw Genesis. And... yeah, me and my dad and Blake and his dad. It was sick.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. It was like,
he retired, right?
He's almost done. He should have been done. Like forever,
it was the last domino, but ? So I'm not too sure.
No,
he definitely retired. He's not well.
He's still.
What do you have? He had a heart attack or a stroke or something.
Man, he like can't. He like can't stand. Can't sit.
Sitting.
Can't lay. Can't play drums. Can't talk.
Bit shaky, and then like he just really though like by the end like you know.
I mean, Phil gave us everything, man. He really left it all on the stage. That man gave us everything.
Lifelong fan. He did, man. Lifelong fan. But take your swan song, you know, like go for it, you know, like
nobody still to this Jesus. Day can tell you what Susu Studio is.
What is it? Well, and another thing too is like my dad is a drummer and he's in a band called Reset to Vinyl, based in Buffalo area. And they play a lot of like progressive and just classic rock, like from Fleetwood Mac to
Cool. Joel's dad has been like kind of a consistent source of like mentorship, like
knowledge,
feedback to us. You know, he gives us some frank feedback, bro. It's cool,
you know,
man.
He's not gonna hide and sugarcoat it.
It's helped us get a lot better for sure.
They played a show and like they opened their set with Home by the Sea. Like, who does that? That's amazing.
Wow, man. I have a daughter who's growing up fast. Yeah. Tez does too. Yeah. Jay does also, but Jay's are still little kids. Me and Tez's kids
love
are
kids.
They're getting bigger. Me and Tez's kids are getting to be big kids. And
I don't have a kid anymore. I have a young adult.
Right. Like we're on that level now. So like Tez, dude, like
fast, man.
Tez, I know you're with me, man. Like if either of these girls that we got ever start a band, like, bro, like I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like if they start a band, bro, with each other or without, doesn't matter.
You know,
either way, I'm road manager, gear hauler. They're going to get paid. Like, I will enforce.
They're not going to do it. They won't do it.
No, because I think they're going to do it, bro.
Because we want them to do it.
No, that's man. I'm not, no, no pressure. No pressure. No, no, no pressure. No pressure. Dude, no, nah, no. Nah. All I give, dude, all I give Zia is, dude, all I give her is envy. I'm like, yo, yeah, my band's going to the studio. Yo, I got band practice. Yo, I'm going to the band thing. She's like, man, like, how do you write songs? And I'm like, man, like, you just, you know, you start with an idea or with a melody or with a whatever, and then you grow. And mm-hmm. she's like starting to get this like creepy vibe. I'm telling you, man, I'm not, no pressure, Tez. If
she's gonna go write songs, band, yeah, on the piano or something.
My kids are definitely going to be musical. There's no question about it.
Dude, yeah, she plays piano already. She's awesome at piano already.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to get instruments in my kids' hands ASAP.
Dude, listen,
being a drummer, I wanted my daughter. I just knew that that's what she was going to do. Yo, she plays the trumpet.
Trumpet's awesome, man.
Jay, you need a womp, 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 womp.
No, you don't. Womp. No, you don't.
Nah, man, trumpet's awesome.
That is a trumpet. No. That instrument is a trumpet. Yeah, that actually is a trumpet that plays that.
Is it a trombone? It's a trombone. It's a trombone.
It's gotta be a trombone. It's like womp.
It's a slide, bro.
Yeah. It's gotta be a trombone.
With the toilet plunger.
Yeah. But you can't do that with a trombone. You can't do that with a trombone. You only have two hands.
Yeah, trombone, you can. What are you talking about?
No, you can. You can.
How do you hold the shit? Can. And then
you just gotta kind of balance it on your shoulder, and then you like the weight. Some of the weight is the bell in your wrist, and then you're not taking. You know, you kind of just. I only use one like maybe once or twice.
Well, I guess Blake is an expert. So well, no, you don't have to Google it. Blake is the trombone player.
What am I googling?
You're googling nothing, Jay. Don't Google a goddamn thing, Jay. Don't Google anything. All right. Just leave it alone.
Joel and I were not like,
I spaced out for a second.
Just leave it alone.
Joel and I were not just like fair weather band nerds in college. We were like pretty hardcore band nerds.
Dude,
like,
Tez is a marching band nerd.
Yeah. I was in every band nerd. Like I was
in the symphony band, and I remember like we played like a Sergeant Pepper's medley suite, and I was on the kit for it. I was like, hell yeah. Dude,
I was in symphony band, clarinet. And bass clarinet.
Dude, awesome. Nice.
Marching band, concert band, symphony, orchestra.
I did
plays. I did the music for plays.
Yeah, the pit.
In the pit.
I did jazz band. Yep.
Yeah. I got to play bass trombone in jazz band. That was a really cool time. Bass trombone.
The kicker of it all. I cannot read music.
Now I really need that trombone.
I did all that. And I can't read music. But my teacher had that much faith in me that she knew that she challenged me to rise to the occasion. I had to have a lot of one-on-one with like another snare drummer or another whatever in the bands. But I got it. And I marched the shit out of that shit. Dude, you hear me?
I don't doubt it for 1 minute, Tez. Knowing you like I know you, man. Like there is, it's just what it is, you know.
In college, I was playing the bass drum and like for marching band. Like that's really fun.
Until
I was
like, had your unfortunate injury.
Everyone's got their unfortunate injuries, but I was like the second to last bass drum, and it was just like you would go like, dude. And then the other one would go like doo doo, and then you go to doo doo, so like doo 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 doo, and it would just be really satisfying. It'd be very fun to play, and like it was so fun. I felt so powerful as a bass drum player. Like it was just
our drum line was definitely the strong point.
It is.
Dude, we were there like weeks before everybody else. Like we
had
that
a good drum line always.
So fun, and I love the movie.
Your band, if you don't have a good drum line, your band sucks.
It's kaputs. It's
like a franchise quarterback.
Do not even pull up to the competition. Yeah,
you need a good quarterback.
Right. You know what I mean? Like at least a quarterback that can pass the ball. Like if you don't have that, you are L Tree Blade, dude. Terrible.
It's a good comparison.
It's the core. It is literally the core. It's the drum core. It is literally the core of the band, man.
That's why I sent you guys that recording, and that recording in specifically, because I feel like that recording showcases that better than anything else. Like Joel's just drumming on that, on that take of that song is like exactly that, dude. It's just a perfect backbone. It is the core, and like it holds it the fuck down. I mean, it's just really, it's, I was really impressed with that, his drumming on that take.
The biggest marching band aspect that I get from at least from Tez, who I've known and been making music with forever, is the snare. There's something about the snare drum. If someone that's played in a marching band knows how to play a snare drum, of how to like kind of express yourself with it, you know, it just kind of becomes this this like voice.
Joel definitely, yes,
of
yes,
the kid. Yeah. You know, it's a voice. Like the snare very much becomes a voice. Not even in the timing, more in like whatever is outside of the timing. I think the snare is like kind of
how you point it across.
Yeah. And that I see big time with any marching band drummer, that if the snare kind of sings to you like that, then.
I definitely don't think Joel brings some of that spice to the band sometimes, 110%, especially when we're doing some of like the jamming stuff. There's this one.
And the cajon, dude.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. When we do acoustic gigs, Joel has the little box drum. I mean, every bar band like that you've seen probably recently at some kind of acoustic venue has one. But I mean, it's fun. I think it's fun. I think it's, and it's, yeah, it helps us be very creative with the rhythm sound.
Very cool.
That's what's up. All right. I mean, so
hopefully we can get like, if we want to get more acoustic, like I think another cool goal would be to have like bongos or a djembe or
more drums,
tambourines, and just like more ways to like just create different voices.
Tez is like yes. I'm on for all of it.
Need more cowbell. Yeah. You know what doesn't get enough shine either, man? The triangle, dude.
Just gonna say that.
Oh god.
Dinner's ready. Oh, it's like the most important sound.
Joel, do you know what the hammer dulcimer is?
You know what that is.
Is that like the one where you like you hammer things?
It's like a stringed instrument with hammers, right? My stepmom actually used to play that.
Yeah.
Is that something I should get?
You got to look into it, bro. Y'all start doing the
acoustic thing. There was a guy who had a really viral video. I think he played a Tears for Fears song on the hammer dulcimer. I forget which one. I think it was that was a really good cover.
Tears for Fears on a hammer dulcimer.
Yeah, if you search that, it'll pop up and
hammer dulcimer.
You won't be disappointed.
I have no idea how to even spell that. No idea.
J.
I'm on it.
Hammer dulcimer. Figure it out. Thank you. Come on, you know, push this back to the office, Tez. Back to the office.
Oh, this is a good sign.
It's like.
Yep. Everybody wants like to rule the world on the hammer dulcimer.
It's like a one-sided small harp that
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. Yo, Blake, didn't someone at college have this? Like in one?
I don't know.
Like a harpsichord?
Is it kind of like a?
Is it like a harpsichord?
Like, I don't know what that is.
Shit.
But you lay it flat,
yeah,
and you play it with these like kind of mallet looking things. They look like the one end is like this, so you can just come down on the strings, and then the other ends have like little flaps that go over your finger, and that's how you play it. Like think like the inside of a piano. Yes, that's exactly what inside of a piano, dude.
Your hands think are the that. Things.
And you, yeah,
doing the hammering.
Yep. Okay, get this. Okay. So in 2016, Ted Yoder covered Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears on the hammer dulcimer. It went viral. In 2017,
he got sued.
No, in 2017, Kurt's
court.
Wait. In 2017, Kurt Smith of Tears for Fears met up with him, and they redid this song with him on the hammer dulcimer and Kurt Smith singing.
Dang.
What?
They remade it.
Wow. Yeah. And then it probably went viral again.
There's like the first 20 results on Google is of that collab.
Yeah, of course.
Damn.
Of course.
Yeah, dude, it's a wild video.
That's not an instrument that you learn by accident. Like, you have to play the hammer dulcimer, dude. Like, when you telling people what you're doing, you know what I'm saying? Be prepared for it. What?
No, dude. Well, yeah, when you're telling people what you're doing, you have to tell them what you're doing, bro. With the hammer dulcimer.
You
got to
pull it up on your phone and everything. Like, I play the hammer dulcimer.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, dude.
That's how you got to be. Because it's
there is a guy on TikTok, and he'll do like a sound, like a different like jingle or a song we all know, and he'll play it on different percussive instruments. Mostly
walks around the room with like a POV camera doing the different
exactly, like that's a steel drum.
yeah he did the he did the Legend of Zelda something. That was like, that was how I found him. One of the little.
Dude, he's got a lot of good ones. He did, they'll be like on a, like some have drum sets part twos, but.
I'm intrigued by like the idea of doing little samples of stuff and then, you know, putting that, hooking those samples up to like, you know, your MIDI pad, you know, with your, you know, I like to make little like MIDI drums. I'm getting really into that. Exactly.
Lights. Jay. Is that wireless?
No, USB. If you didn't get my bold lettering in the email I sent you, I don't trust wireless.
Bold.
I don't trust wireless for recording anything.
None of it.
No.
I when I studied abroad in Copenhagen, I made a few songs just on my Mac keyboard, my QWERTY keyboard. Like I used it.
You can do that. You can do that in Pro Tools. You can bring up a little window of a MIDI keyboard and use your actual keyboard to control it. It's pretty sweet.
That is pretty cool.
I know. It's love it.
I love me some conversation. MIDI. I love me some MIDI.
Way, my guy said when he was studying abroad, right. Copenhagen, dude. Like,
that one time, I'm in Copenhagen.
Joel was over there for five or six months.
Yeah, we all are, you know, travelers.
Yeah, Joel and I have been around.
That's dope. That's dope, man. That's pretty cool.
All right. Do we want to get into this music?
That's what I, yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Take it away, Jay.
Yep. All right. So we're playing These Days live at Baltimore Spirits. Tell us about this song.
So this is our single that we have out right now on streaming. It's called These Days, and it's a song that I wrote with our former bassist Dave Pataki, who's still like a good friend and collaborator of ours. It's just a song that I wrote about, you know, kind of just watching life go by and watching, you know, your kids grow up and, you know, kind of the stuff that you weather as, you know, you watch that process happening, right? Like that's a tough, you guys, you know, we're all, I'm a teacher as my full-time career. And I know a lot of you guys are parents. So I know we can all kind of vibe with that, right? Like, you know, you feel like you blink sometimes and you've watched like, you know, 5 years go by or whatever. So it's kind of a song about that feeling.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
All right. Well,
take that. Blake just did a great description, so let Joel introduce the joint.
There you go.
What? So this is These Days by East River Band, live at Baltimore Spirits Company.
First show in Baltimore. Thank you. Hey, yo.
That was cool.
Good shit.
Yeah, I mean, that venue is like super, super reverby. I mean, it had some good things
and some bad things. The bass is very high in the mix, obviously, because of that. But it was, in general, like in person, that venue actually sounded quite good. The craziest part about that take is that was the first time the saxophone player Corwin had like ever played that. I'm pretty sure. I think he might have rehearsed it with us like once.
He's played it before, but like
I think that was the first time. It was the first time he took the solo on that. Yeah.
Crazy angle. Because Joe was giving me like when he came in, he was giving me murder. Like when he was like, and then it was like assault. But
yeah,
like,
dude, Joel's drum faces are impeccable.
That's why I took that take.
Joel drums, like his drums were they were fire on that take, and he's, you know, he shows it.
As a drummer, man, you have to it's not just your playing that's selling it, right? Anybody can go see a drummer, you know what I'm saying? But your mannerisms is what's selling you as a drummer. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, exactly. And the guys that I noticed that like really hold it down and like are always just like super dope drummers are the guys who like they really like their body is like one with the instrument. You know what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
they really
yeah. like people have to believe you. I mean, you know, look at Carter Buford. Look at like they sell it as they're playing. You know, they can not know what they're doing, but as long as it looks good while they're not knowing what they're doing, like people are going to believe them. You know what I mean? Carter Buford could be crazy. A basic ass drummer, but because he makes it look so technical when he's doing it, but it's so, mm-hmm. it's so like with ease and yeah. it flows. It's like he's art with the instrument. People believe him and he just so happens to be like this phenomenal drummer, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to kind of just paint it the story in a different way that like, you know, like the, when you're playing that song itself, like, you know, you're kind of just like, it's all part of like that story that you're kind of telling just like, just with like the vocals, like every part has its own, but you know, like the way that you even just bring it all together, I think is just,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have a different, almost you have like a separate job to do as a drummer. Yeah. You're a part of a band and, you know, you guys up there playing music and you're one band, one sound, right? But also as individuals, you have to sell your own tickets. And especially if it's not fucking Slipknot numbers in the band, it's not 7, 8, 9 people in the band, like you stand out. So people expect you to stand out. Mm-hmm. Sound good together, but people expect you to stand out. So when that drummer was fucking awesome, or that guitar player ripped it, man, that singer was awesome. That's the kind of feel you want at the end of a show. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah, I can. Yep, I definitely can feel that.
Well, also, you should keep the beat. You know, as a drummer,
it's like the rule number one.
Would he go to for a drummer is like keep
and then a bassist too. The bassist also has to be in the pocket always.
Because Dan grew up with a drummer that doesn't have pockets. So
they exist.
He speaks from a very open place with that statement he just made.
I'm really bad with the name, but was it Krangbin?
No. His name was Ted.
The band
Sweatpants, you know, Sweatpants
and Krangbin, like you know, that's
no pocket.
That drummer is a crazy pocket.
Yeah, interesting interpretations of the pocket out there.
I will say that Tez, that you know, when you do get a pocket, bud, you really hit that pocket for me, bro. Like I really do. Like when it does hit, Tez, I really appreciate it when it comes in. I'm like, damn, dude, I can jam on this forever, you know?
Right.
Like,
dude, Roy's four is bars all later. Pocket,
Roy honestly, is I feel pocket. Like, honestly, I feel like for us, for the most part, like it's like if for me, the biggest area for growth for me as a musician is like the playing and singing and just getting really dialed in with like, you know, Joel's snare and kick, and with my rhythm guitar, and also like just like locking that while maintaining the vocals, you know, because I know that.
Yeah.
I know that, like, especially since Joel has gotten his chops up in like this other blues band, like his pocket's tighter than ever. Like the one thing where I'm just like, oh, like that's the only time where I really still feel like the groove, like hiccup sometimes with me is when I'm having to hold down the two at the same time.
Yeah, man. That,
dude, your brain is like doing like double overtime, you know?
I feel that, dude. I definitely feel that. I end up sucking at both instead of being good at one.
I know.
That's the classic frontman curse. And, you know, so pick your battles.
It's the job of the frontman. I mean,
look, you know, just look like you're doing a good job and, you know, you got this.
Yeah, exactly. Or like drink, you know, like I mean, you know, like, sorry, Jay, you know, like to those in sobriety, don't drink, you know, but like if you're not in sobriety, then like drink, you know, it helps with me.
Definitely. I feel like I'm still like a one drink before the set kind of guy. I'm definitely I definitely have started to refrain during my break because my voice is already so toast by, like, especially during like the 3 hour long bar gigs. Like my voice is definitely pretty fried by like the end of the first set. So like I try not to drink during the break, but then I'll have one beforehand before the show starts, and at the end of the show I have like two more.
Dude, so maybe, I'm
3 hours.
Dude, I'm the opposite. I'm like 45 minutes and like three lines a song, and I lose my voice like the second song in or something, you know, like, but I also like would have a drink like before we load, you know, like definitely well before we load. Then once we get
there, started before he left the house. Like, let's be real.
Dude. Show day.
There's a couple skies thrown in there.
That was funny about.
I gotta be sweaty. Just to go on stage.
Band, definitely, we definitely did our first couple shows like as a very much like a like yeah, we're showing up lit, like, you know, we're having a good time. We got a can of alcohol on stage.
Easy, we're good, we're fine. Dude.
But like, you know, we like, I definitely feel like as the over the course of the last year or so, we've definitely like tightened up our like stagemanship, you know, and even as a bar band, like, you know, keeping it tight, keeping it professional, you know, delivering the people the best possible, you know, experience.
Dude.
While still having a couple sneaky drinks, you know.
Yeah, just sneak until, one in for me, right? Blame me, bud. Blame me for it.
It's like a habit, like right after the song ends, like immediately reach for the drink.
Just yeah. It's nerve-wracking up there, man, you know. It is.
You're in front of people. Welcome to musicianhood, bro. Like that is literally
happy to be here.
Jay, what did you think as a teetoter, man? Like, what do you think? Because you performed before you were sober and after you were sober. Was it a shock to go out there clear-headed and do your thing?
The first couple times, yeah. Well, I mean, my first show sober was our CD release party.
Yeah.
At Growlers.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I kind of felt like I was going to vomit.
No, it was, dude.
Yeah, it totally dude, was.
Playing, we were playing all them shows back when Jay didn't drink.
Oh, no. Yeah, but that was the early days. I'm talking about like, the real early sobriety, bro. Like the real, like the, like.
The final take.
Yeah, the down final and dirty. Take. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The big
okay.
One.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you, like. Whether I was sober or not, I was always nervous before going on stage. And yeah. I stayed nervous until I let out the first scream. And then I was just in it. Like, it was like no second problem, nature.
No. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, which is why I always wanted
to. You gotta trust your muscle memory. It's like, I'm just learning that, man. Like, you just gotta, like, you can't be like overthinking any of it, man. You just gotta really like. Just flow just like you flowed in practice, right? And it's easier said than done, obviously, but like I'm always pre-show jitters, sober, not sober, but I've noticed that like maybe a little drink might help with those, but like not really, can't overdo it with that, you know? And it's more like I like to do it like to kind of like manage almost like the post show, like kind of jitters that I get as well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Coming down off of it is hard too.
Dude, the post show come down is real. Tell me that. Tell me that's not right. Oh, the post show come down is hard. Like, you wake up the next morning, you're like, especially if it's a good show. The funny thing is it's worse if it's a good show because you're more tired.
For sure.
I was always the most nervous. Yeah, after shows and in between songs when I had to like
say stuff.
Yeah, I was
say stuff is terrible.
It's so easy as a drummer. We're just kind of in the back chilling.
Yeah. Well, so Joel is starting to become a singing drummer though. So there's a couple. Joel is starting to do some backup vocals,
like,
and
2% completion on that story. Like,
I would say more so than that. Joel and I have hit a couple of vocal harmony songs. We covered this song by Dispatch where we hit some vocal harmonies. Joel did some backups for actually that song that we showed you guys. He did that at one of our acoustic gigs. So like, I'm showing him a lot about singing and shit. It's really our best shot at a backup vocalist. We've never really had more than one vocalist in the East River band. That's would be sick.
It would be sick, man. Tez is my backup vocalist, right? Tez, you're my
singing drummers are awesome.
Tez is my backup vocalist for sure. He got spoken word and everything, man. Like, I just gave him the keys, bro. I said, Tez, here's the keys. You know, like, go for it, man. I'm just going to play this riff, and that's the new release. It'll be out. By the time this airs, it'll be the world's problem, Tez.
Sure. It will. It's going to be a problem.
Jay, I'm trying to hit this lightning round, man. Let's do this lightning round thing. Are we ready for this? Here we go. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yes.
Jesus.
All right. The lightning round.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Blake and Joel, welcome to the lightning round.
That was good.
The way this works is...
Oh, man.
The lightning round is based on there are no right or wrong answers. All right. The questions are fast. Therefore, the answers can also be fast. That's pretty much it. Are you guys ready to start?
Let's rip it up.
Yep.
Okay, cool. This first question will be for both of you. First, I'm going to pull from some old stuff. Then I'm going to drop some new stuff on you. So both of you. A song that makes you want to cry.
Joni Mitchell, Circle Game.
Mm. Time of Your Life by Green Day.
Oh,
good one.
The graduation song. all right, both of you again. Describe your first car.
Oh,
okay. Gold. gold member. It was a gold color. Yeah, sick.
1985 Chevy F-150.
Oh, well, it was a coupe. It was a Chevy Cavalier, but. It's gold.
Both Chevys.
Both gold.
Gold.
Gold. Okay. You hit the Powerball. What's the first thing you do?
Is this both of us? Okay. Make a dope ass record.
I would just buy the most expensive drum kit that I could.
And then make a dope ass record.
Because I could.
All right, now we're getting into some weird stuff. Here we go. You travel back in time. Where would you, if you could, have lunch with any artist?
What?
What?
I think you just know.
Sorry, what's Anna. My kid. Okay, wait. Sorry, it was a couple of them. Sorry. All right, now, well, let's split it up. Joel, if you could travel back in time to any time period, where would you go?
I definitely would travel back to the Civil War era and just, you know, see exactly what things were like. If I was, like, safe, though, like, I couldn't get at all hurt or anything. I was just merely an observer.
Joel,
I want to see it actually happen.
Owen basically stayed right the fuck where he is at right
now. Yeah,
I would just turn time
exactly
back.
And exactly, and I would just watch everything before me, like just turn back.
That'd be crazy, man.
So if you could go back in time, you would go to the Civil War. Fair enough. all right, Blake. If you could have lunch with any artist, what artist would you have lunch with?
I gotta say John Mayer, just because I feel like he's got the best shot at being like a decent like conversationalist slash person. I know a lot of the other artists I like might have a bit of more of a reputation to be a little more obtuse. So that's my safe answer for that.
Cool.
My unsafe answer is Miles Davis.
Oof, that's also a good answer.
I feel like it would be kind of weird, but it would be dope. But it'd be like
he would hate you. He would hate your guts. He would hate your guts as soon as he met you.
He would hate the shit out of me, my music, and everything.
For sure. All right, so now we're gonna go in some faster stuff, and this is for both of you guys.
Let's go.
You know you're gonna die. What's your last meal?
I got dark.
Honestly, a shit ton of chicken stuffing, like just stuffing, just nothing.
Chicken salad.
Nothing but stuffing.
Yeah, I would.
Joe's going out on a healthy note.
All right, here we go. The classic. You have a superpower. What's your superpower?
A sick musician.
I would definitely like to fly. 100%.
Perfect tempo. Drummers. Fucking drummers. You can be invisible, bud. You can be fucking invisible and infinite, bud.
That was such a drummer answer.
You're asking for tempo, bro. Here. You want a superpower? Here we go, Ray. Boom. Done. You know? All right. Here we go. Ready? If you could turn into a dog, what kind of dog would you want to turn into?
Is this just like who my favorite dog is, or just
questions and questions, bud?
Honestly, like a German Shepherd, it's a badass dog. Like I would be a German Shepherd.
German Shepherd, and what'd you say, Blake?
Some type of husky.
Husky. Okay.
Pack of wolves, huh? Pack of wolves we've got here. Shush. Oh. Yeah, my dog. Are you going to work? Yeah, she has to go to the bathroom so bad.
That didn't even sound real. I was like, I didn't hit a button.
She's over here. She's mean mugging the shit out of me, bro. Like, I got to take her out for sure. All right. I got two more, though. Pencil or pen?
Pen.
Pen. Always pen.
Last one.
Shelly test.
This is a good one, too. What is the most terrifying animal and why?
Honestly, a hippopotamus, just the most absurdly, like, just you don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, that's a good one.
And they're very fast, and they're aggressive and territorial, and they eat you.
Polar bear.
There's no mercy.
Yeah. Hippos are fucked. For me, polar bear, definitely. And the why is, the paws. It's more in the paws than in the jaws. You feel me? It's that more one. In the paws than in the jaws because the paws of a polar bear are just like, you see how fucking thick and how big those claws are, bro. And that's
did you see like the viral pictures where like they took over like an abandoned place and they made their home?
Polar bears
doing so well there. Like they're flourishing.
That's pretty cute.
I have to say, you guys, the East River Band, Tez and Jay, these guys are an enigma to me because they picked like the two cutest animals.
Hippos
and polar bears.
Baby,
I want a hippopotamus.
Like there was no T-Rex. No crocodile, no like, you know, great white shark, megalodon,
hippos
whatever.
Suspiciously
you know.
Fast. For some odd reason, or I don't understand why a hippo is so fast, but they are
so fast. Have you seen them in the water? Either water or land, it doesn't matter. Like that's what scares me about them. Like it doesn't matter.
I don't understand it.
They're cute.
All their weight and they're moving.
Hippos are cute. That's what they are. They're cute.
Yeah,
but then you see them.
Big jaws.
There's a baby one named Fiona.
They're like watermelons.
They kill alligators, bro. They kill alligators.
You can see like these things getting crushed in their jaws, like so. Like I can visualize it. Like
See,
I like when they dump like whole melons like, and hippos.
Beast of like the sea, or not the seas, but like
beast of the sea, the alligator. The, you say.
Not the beast of the sea, not the sea. Yes, like you know them back alley waters.
The beast of the muck,
bayou, beast of the bayou, muck. Man,
Louisiana. Yeah, that's the alligator. Muck. Beast of the muck is what it is. You
until
know?
You come by a hippo, man, what?
I guess so.
Hippos.
Man. What? Nah, dude.
I guess so.
And they hate everybody.
It's just they are an enigma. That is why.
Man, honestly. Well, first of all, congratulations, guys, for surviving the lightning round. Y'all did great.
Yeah,
yeah, y'all did
that
great. Was fun. Congratulations for surviving.
Thanks.
Wait, I got a special congratulations. Jay, hold up. I got it. This is a special congratulations for you, Dan.
Mm.
You. Since Jay had this new sound pad, you were the first host, the first person on this show to ever get a booed. You got booed.
Oh, and crickets.
Oh. And crickets. Someone's got to do it, you know. Someone's got to do it.
And you did. Congratulations, my guy. Congratulations, dog.
Awesome.
Dan has always been and will always be my crash test dummy for new sound effects.
For sure. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. There's a good purpose to be here, you guys. A good purpose. But look, I do got a roll. I got to take this dog out, Jay. This dog is like freaking out.
Should we wrap it up, guys?
It's a big dog. So I can go if y'all want to peace out. But like, just tell me what to do because she's going to pee on my floor. And it's,
well, we've been at this. It's been an hour and a half.
Yeah, we got some good stuff here.
Yeah, man.
Club 137 is very real.
All right, Joel Blake. Hold on. We got to do one thing. Joel Blake, tell us where we can find you.
Of course.
Blake's got this rehearsed.
Yeah. Better. So check it. Just www.eastriverband.com. We got a link to our single there. You got a link to our socials there. You could Google East River Band and hit our link tree for all the our socials if you want to hit us on everything. Definitely show us some love on YouTube and Insta and the like. And yeah, man, we're going to be posting some new music soon, hopefully. So stay tuned.
Cool.
All right, we're in our final word. What? Let Joe get
I kind of feel like shit because the only thing we didn't cover is where they want to go as a band. But like, if you guys want to do that,
we want to drop more dope music.
You don't want too much. You gotta go.
I kind of do gotta go because she gotta go, bud.
You just want to drop more dope music. That's all.
Yeah, just get more stuff recorded. Honestly, I think right now, just start building the catalog
so you guys can hear more of our stuff.
Yeah, we'll be back.
You will be playing loud. Trust
yeah, that is weird, man, because I went on Apple Music to listen to you guys, and there's only one song.
Exactly.
So give us more songs, you know. That's what I want to hear.
Blake wants to do more stuff in 2023 times two.
What time period we go back to? 2023 to make these
movies. That's y'all.
It's the past, bro. It's the past. That's the old me. That's the old Blake. I want to see what the new Blake is going to do. You know, I want to see the new Blake. Give us some new shit. Right.
Guys, it has been a time, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. Really, I'll get a video next time, too. We'll get that working for you.
Yeah, man. That the whole us staring at your picture on the drums.
I do like this picture. It's a good picture.
Thank you. Yeah. I went out of my way to do that for you guys.
It was a cool picture. Thank you, Blake. An hour and a half
of the picture. Like,
thank you. you gotta close your eyes, and it'll just be imprinted.
Cool. All right. I'm going to give my final words tonight are appreciate each other. Welcome to the new year again. And just practice your kindness and be there for each other. That's all.
Amen.
All right, man. Take that dog out.
Amen. All right. I'm going to walk the dog. Peace.
All right, bro. Jay.
Joel, Blake, it was a blast. Thank you guys for being on the show. Thanks everybody for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us 5 stars, thumbs up, whatever your options are, wherever you're listening from, and make sure to check the show notes for more info on the East River Band and links to our own socials. And with that, Tez, take us out.
You already know. Joel, Blake, again, man, appreciate y'all. Blake, thanks for answering the call, man. We definitely going to have y'all back on here, bro. Like, everybody we talked to has been, once you get the conversation and music going, man, it's easy to feel the air, bro. Yeah. Half of the time, we don't even get to talk about the shit that we plan on talking about, man. That's the love of music, man.
And out, guys. You've been listening and enjoying it, so keep it up. It's nothing but good vibes and love.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Thank you. Man, love yourself. Love one another. Take care of each other, man. I can't stress that enough, man. Let's take care of each other. Let's love each other. And if you don't do anything else in your life, support cystic fibrosis. I love y'all. Thank y'all. We out. Peace.
Later. And that's it for this week. For more info on the East River Band, check out the link in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to give it a positive rating wherever you're listening from. It really does help. And with all of that being said, thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.